This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at dicetower.com.
Episode 203.
It sure is. We're super excited to be here, and we're the Family Gamers.
This episode of the Family Gamers Podcast is sponsored by First Moon Financial. Have you heard of the fun ratio? Me neither. This is a tool parents can use to help their kids make decisions around buying their wants, the things they don't need, like toys or games. The fun ratio is just the number of hours of fun per dollar spent. So that flashy, expensive toy that doesn't get played with more than once, that has a low fun ratio. But Mall Madness provides hours of fun for not very much money. Right, Asher?
No.
The point of this isn't to encourage your kids to be cheap, but to compare options and to think about how their money is enjoyed. This isn't always the best way to make decisions about money, but it can be a helpful framework. Having conversations like thinking about the fun ratio can help your kids understand how to get the best use out of their money and establish great habits for the future. This idea comes from The Opposite of Spoiled by Ron Lieber. If you want to talk about other ways to equip your children for their future, go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to schedule time to talk to First Move today.
You may have noticed that we're not your normal hosts. We're the kids! And we're explaining today.
That's because we got the Burrow family on the show today. We'd like to welcome Daniel, Allison, Jared, and Peyton to the show today. Hey guys, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, so here we are. We're all here together. We had the kids open the show, which is a little bit different for us this week, but we are super excited to have you guys on the show.
I'm not really used to being on the, I'm not used to being asked so many questions.
Like, I know, you're usually the interviewer, not the interviewee.
Yeah.
Does that feel weird?
Yes.
All right. Well, we are totally excited to have the Kids Planet family, the whole Burrow family, on the show. We're going to talk about all sorts of crazy stuff, I'm sure. I don't actually know what kinds of questions they have to ask. But I'm pretty pumped for this. And then we'll take a break. Second half of the show, us adults will talk about how we wrangle our kids to do game stuff.
Sometimes it is like herding cats.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes.
Right?
So, Elliot here has been itching to ask his questions of Jared and Peyton for hours or something. So, I'm going to let Elliot go first.
In the Jumanji video, did your dad actually duct tape Jumanji to a rock and throw it into a pond?
No.
No.
It's still on a chair.
But not okay. Open yet. Still leaving it sealed.
We're very close.
We're waiting
for those of you who have not seen the Kids Planet videos, why don't you guys explain a little bit of what Elliot's talking about?
Well, we got a Jumanji game and we wanted to make it a little funny by making it like we look at the box, look at the back, turn it back over, the drums go, and then we act like we just threw it into the pond.
Yeah, and like say what it says on the front and back.
That's pretty and then much act it. Like we don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Sure. And then you come out looking like your dad. Because it's 20 years later for you.
I didn't think about doing something like that. That'd be funny.
All right.
How about you, Asher?
So first, when did you first come up with the idea for your videos?
I can't really remember. You're going to have to ask our mom and dad.
The only thing I remember is it's Corona and you can't do anything but play games.
It does seem like it's been forever since this whole thing started.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much it. We were quarantined and had games and not much else to do, so we figured we'd start a little family project and teach other people how to play games so they could keep busy during Corona also.
Yeah, we keep ourselves busy and we kind of like what we're doing, so we're going to keep doing it.
But if you look back on our past videos from when we just started, it looks so much different from what we have now. Like, we're a lot better on camera.
Mm. Yes, they are.
I look very different from when we started our podcast, too, because I'm 5 years older now.
No one can really tell that right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
If it's just an actual podcast with no video, I bet no one can actually tell that.
Well,
they,
you know.
They can tell it in your voice. You sound
I sound older and more tired.
Well, it is almost night.
He's saying that sound. That's why you sound tired. It's bedtime.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yes. Yes.
One of many reasons.
Yeah, I can't stay up late anymore. I stayed up until midnight like 2 nights ago, and I was a wreck for the last 2 days. I can't.
No,
do it.
We're the same way. We've got regular coffee brewing, and we're kind of going, do we really want to drink that?
Yeah. I turned 35 a few months ago and realized I can't drink coffee after 3 anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, same. So, mm-hmm. Same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad.
Yep.
Second, when was the first time that you ever made a video?
Like a promotion video or an actual tutorial?
Like any video.
I don't know.
Like 4 months ago?
Maybe. I don't know.
So how old are you guys? I don't even know that.
7 and 10. Almost 11.
Yeah. I'm turning 11 on August 4th.
That's coming up in a couple of weeks. Mom and Dad, are you ready for that?
No.
No.
I'm not ready for that yet. I like being 10.
Maybe we'll get to do your birthday party with family there in our big fort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're making a treehouse way over there.
Nice.
I don't know if anyone can see where I was pointing.
Over in, like, the corner of our property.
Not the corner. It's right by our house. It's at the corner of our house.
How tall?
Is it inside the house or outside the house?
It's a tree house.
Do you not know if it's inside or outside?
I mean, it could be like a fake tree house. I don't know.
No. It's definitely outside.
We built it from scratch.
How many stories is it?
Nice.
Two.
No.
Two.
Well,
okay, that is an awesome tree house.
Yeah.
Two stories.
We built it from the ground up.
Hmm.
Nice. It took a while until we...
So you have a bottom level and then you have like an upper level?
Yes.
And then we're going to have a lookout reading that way.
Yeah, we're going to...
And a
zip level.
Line.
The zip line is like phase 3, but we've got
we're
a bottom
like
level
5.
And then a platform that's about 15 or 16 feet off the ground, and then we're going to build a reading nook up higher in the tree. So,
oh, wow.
So the
yeah,
goal
it's
is to have it high
my...
enough to make Mom uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's,
and then,
it's definitely
then you know
that.
It's a good tree house.
Well, there's 3 kids here who are wondering if you'd like to adopt.
No, we'll do a virtual tour and you guys can follow us around that
I think there's already too many kids in this family.
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow.
Really?
2 older brothers.
Indeed. That's funny.
Sorry,
Chris. Ashley, did you have another question?
Have you ever watched She-Ra, like the new one?
She-Ra?
She-Ra?
She-Ra,
yeah,
She-Ra on Netflix.
Movie. Or TV
no.
show.
No.
No. Pretty cool.
Is it a cartoon or is it a...
It is a cartoon, yes.
I've not even said, have you seen that?
No,
I haven't either.
We'll have to look it up.
They redid She-Ra as like a new age cartoon. I don't know. Netflix does a lot of like Netflix original stuff.
Is We're seeing a lot of new
S-H
stuff.
She-Ra?
She-Ra.
We'll have to look that up.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. They just discovered Floor is Lava, and I'm regretting this decision for letting them.
Now we're playing the
show.
Floor is Lava.
They play the home version.
Oh, gosh.
That's
all
the
time.
Best day ever.
Now we're not allowed to play the Floor is Lava when we watch it.
No, because we can't go to the hospital right now. No one asked me.
Hey, have we ever played the Floor is Lava and gotten super hurt?
No, because I'm
Peyton fell off the chair this morning.
Oh, yeah, he did. He fell off the chair. See?
This is what moms are for, is to stop you before you get super hurt.
Thank you.
I didn't really fall off it. I jumped off of it. I was standing up.
No blood on the carpet, please. Okay.
I was standing up when I got off of it.
Any other questions?
What fell over was the chair.
Yeah. I got one more. Have you ever watched Avatar, The Last Windbender?
We haven't even watched the first Avatar.
Yeah, I kind of want them to read the books first.
Yeah, we read the books so that we use our imagination first and have our own story in our head and then see the difference in the movie.
For me, I can't read, so I just think of what the movie would be, and it's pretty much nothing like I thought.
Does your mom read to you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's learning to read right now.
Okay.
She doesn't read movie books except Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Harry Potter is good.
Fair enough.
All right. Awesome. So what kinds of board games do you like to play with each other or with mom and dad?
Good question. I like to play Roll and Writes.
Yeah.
I really like Cartographers right now.
Cartographers is a great Roll and Write. It's very, very good. Have you played the game Roll and Write?
No, we haven't. Roland? Like as in the town?
Like the name Roland Wright.
Uh-uh.
They've played Roar and Write.
Yeah. Did you guys get to play Roar and Write?
We kickstarted it. So we got Animal Kingdoms, which is the game that came before Roar and Write.
Yeah.
And we really liked that a lot. And we don't usually cover Kickstarter stuff, so we didn't go for like a preview copy or anything, but we did kickstart the game. So we'll get that when it comes in. And we actually had Carla, who designed the game, on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, she's really cool. She does, what is the giraffe?
It's Weird Giraffe.
Weird Giraffe, that's what it is, yeah.
Galactic Raptor Games.
Yeah, Galactic Raptor.
Are the two studios that she's involved with. But Roll and Write is done by Perplexed. It's a dice drafting Roll and Write, so you're like any Roll and Write is. So you roll these dice and they have different colored dots on them. And the different players can draw those different colored dots on their board. But then you can use those dots to perform special abilities to do other stuff. It's really cool.
That sounds really neat.
Yeah, it's very
neat. We like the drafting dice, like the with, what is it? That's pretty clever.
Yeah,
that's pretty clever.
Yeah, Ganchon clever.
Yeah, I don't speak German.
I don't even speak Spanish. Any other questions?
Claire's turn.
What do you think was the longest game that you ever played?
Are you talking about like just the game or even the spaces in between when we have to take breaks?
Mostly the game, but like
yeah, longest actual gameplay.
Okay. Maybe Scythe?
Scythe?
Probably when me and Peyton were
Scythe
playing.
Scythe or Root?
Yeah, we had to take breaks in between. That got kind of intense.
Yeah.
I think Scythe when me and Peyton were playing. Peyton's very first actual game.
You guys took you all day, didn't
Castle Panic.
That was not
Yeah, that only game. Takes like 30 or 45 minutes. Scythe takes a couple of hours.
Five.
Oh, it took y'all 5 hours.
Yeah, it took them 5. Well, they had a lot of breaks throughout the day.
Well, no, it still took us 5
Castle
hours,
Panic
I counted.
Can take... You counted for 5 hours?
I was guessing how long it was, and I also counted a little bit. 5 hours, about.
I would not count for 5 hours.
I did. I guessed and
you
counted.
Just said.
Okay.
There was one time, like, in the past month where we played Castle Panic, and we have both of the expansions, so we played with the Wizard's Tower and the Dark Titan, and we got to a point where we lost the Wizard Tower, and then we're like, okay, we can't do this. It's just too hard.
We've not combined them. We have
the Engines of War expansion.
We don't have
the other two.
We did just interview, the boys just interviewed.
Fireside Games.
Fireside Games.
Where is the Engine of War one?
It's in the original box.
The original box, I looked in it like, looked in it last year and it was just empty.
Oh, it's in there.
I think it's a different box.
Okay.
Was it in,
any other
in
questions?
The one where someone's shooting with a camera in it?
Yes.
I have one that's not really about games.
Okay. We ask those questions a lot.
What was your, like, favorite family trip or, like, family vacation?
Probably, we just recently went on a cruise.
Not in the last 4 months, though.
No, it was a year ago. It was last summer. Where'd we go? Do you remember where we went?
We went all the way to the Bahamas and stayed there for 3 days? I can't remember. We stayed there for 3 days, going to different islands.
And we were on the cruise for 5 days.
And then we went to Disney World. First, we had to drive to our cousin's house. And then we drove all the way to Florida, got onto the cruise, went to the Bahamas for 3 days, came back and went to Disney World, and then came back home.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably our most intense trips.
Well,
it was my favorite.
I think that's not my favorite.
Okay,
that might be my favorite in like a bunch of trips, but my favorite one trip was probably going to Big Cedar.
Yeah, we love going to Big Cedar. If you guys, you know what Big Cedar is? It's in Branson, Missouri. It's right outside Branson, Missouri. It's kind of just a resort cabin. How would you describe it?
It's a lodge. It's they have lodge. Cabins. Yeah. They have, but it's a very
Our
rustic.
Big Cedar Lodge.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's a resort, but it's
lately
it's
we've been going
theme.
To the cliffs.
That's part of it. Mm-hmm.
So,
any others?
He's all business. I love
he
it.
Is, man.
Let's go. Let's go. Time is money.
I have one last very big question. It is, what is some of your favorite things? What are some of your favorite things?
Probably building. I'm a kid that really likes, like, engineering, building, like, robots out of Legos.
That's basically engineering, but with
And
Legos.
Also using, like, I have an Arduino. And I just plug it into my computer and then, like, just make it, like, say stuff to the computer.
And then...
like, I can make it say, I love chicken.
Do you love chicken?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Asher likes to code in Scratch.
Code in Scratch? What's that?
Scratch
I don't know.
Is a... it's a basically a programming language that's designed for kids.
Hmm.
It's really, it's not all text. It's kind of drag and drop with a little bit of text input. You can create simple games, stuff like that. I think it's scratch.mit.edu.
Oh, okay. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll have
yeah,
to look
you'll
that
definitely
up.
Have to check that out. There's a lot of cross-compatibility with all sorts of things like Raspberry Pis and Arduinos and stuff like that.
Is so, it like the next step up from like Snap Circuits where you move to the computer?
Yeah, well, it's all on their website, and so you can create an account and save your programs right on their website. Yeah, and so you can do some Scratch stuff on like an iPad, or you can do it on a computer or whatever. So
wow, we have to check that out. Maybe add that to our curriculum this year.
Another thing that I really like is reading.
Yes.
And like, I know a lot of things because I read a lot.
I like to do like art... what other thing? I don't know.
Just art.
What do you guys like to do on Saturday? What do you like to do on Saturday mornings?
Play video games.
Yeah.
More just play board games.
We have a few video games, and Saturday mornings they get to get up before mom and dad and play video games. It's kind of their special treat.
We're getting up at the same time as That's we normally true. Do.
But sometimes we don't play video games. We just play board games.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
But, like...
the boy after mom's own heart.
Because I read so much, I feel like I know a lot more than my mom and dad.
Well,
that's not because you read so much. That's because you're 10.
Because you read so much.
No, I read a lot. Also because I go to Seek.
I know a lot.
Seek.
Tell me what Seek is.
I can tell you the actual name for it.
What is it?
Science Education Enrichment for Kids. That's the full name.
One thing I know is... actually, I don't remember much, except I could remember a lot if I looked at my Seek book.
But I have good memory. It's all in my brain.
And he's very humble, too.
Yes.
I was just going to say. Yes, very much so.
Seek is it's a 4-H homeschooling program they do one day a week during the fall. It's like a STEM program.
Something nice. Cool. Once at Seek, we were learning about birds. And what are those birds that, like, they puff up and have, like, those fans that you open and they're, like, half circle?
Peacocks.
Are those the ones that have very colorful feathers?
Yes, peacocks.
And their tails go out like a fan?
I've held a peacock feather.
I thought he was going to say he held a peacock. I was like, really? I didn't know about this.
I held a peacock.
Oh, we're going to hear more about that on the ride home.
Yeah, so we do that. What's unique about where we live? What do we don't have any right now, but what do we typically have here where we live?
Chickens.
And we even have a blue heron.
Yes, there's a blue heron.
I once played tag with a baby one. Like, really. Like, I was trying to get it, and it was just, like, staying there, just sitting there. And then when I got, like, 5 feet away, we're just like, oh, we're playing tag still. Okay, goodbye.
Is this the blue heron or a chicken?
Blue heron.
A chicken wasn't just like, okay, you're there.
Did you know that peacocks are actually kind of nasty birds? They're kind of mean.
They are.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
We watched a show that's called, like...
It was Animal Rescue
like
or something
Rocky
like that.
Mountain Animal Rescue.
Yeah, we watched that.
And there was one where these people, they, like, bought, like, a farm with, like, a bunch of, like, acres and stuff. And there was just, like, a bunch of, like, wild peacocks that were just roaming on it.
Peacocks. Was that is that the one peacocks. Where
they're... Oh, yes.
They're white ones? Peacocks. Was there a white one in there? I think I've seen that episode.
Not the one we watched.
Okay.
There was their theory, because it was mostly females and there was two males, so their theory was that if they took the males and, like, put them up for adoption and, like, train them or whatever, then the females would just kind of go away.
Did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I think so.
That was a good
theory.
Well,
the males are the pretty ones, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that? Don't you think the colorful ones are the girls?
No, actually, the colorful ones are the males.
You would think that, but it's
the females are less colorful so they can blend in, but the males are more colorful to attract the mates.
No. It's so they it's so they can mate. They're not more.
That's what I just said.
We're about to have a science lesson here.
It's just they're more colorful so they attract the others, but it's not that they are less colorful, so they blend in. It's just they're less colorful because they're not the ones trying to mate.
No, they're less colorful so they can blend in while they're laying eggs.
We're not going to argue anymore.
All I know is your dad and I have got to get with the program. That's all I know.
Step up your color game.
I have some makeup you can borrow if you want to. He's wearing gray.
All right, well, guys, thank you very much for coming on our show. It has been a lot of fun. I hope you have had fun. We've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to hook you guys up, you reading programming kids.
Because
he's homeschooling in the fall, too, and he likes to read and program. So
That
would be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Maybe I can do Skype and just talk about what they did.
All right, sure. Yeah.
What's Skype?
What we're on.
All right, so we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to put our kids to bed, and then I think we're going to come back, and we'll talk about what it's like wrangling these kids.
All right. Good night, kids. It was so good meeting you. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back. On the backs of Walter Matthau and Tatum O'Neill comes a story that will knock your socks off.
Not that Bad News Bears. A different Bad News Bears. This one from Lookout Games.
Ah, got it. Sorry. This is a snap review for The Bad News Bears, a two-part expansion for Baron Park, everyone's favorite unbear-leavable polyomino game from Phil Walker Harding and Lookout Games.
We all remember Baron Park. This is a 2-4 player polyomino game about building a bear park.
That's right. We reviewed Baron Park back in 2017.
Sure did. And we loved it. It was a quality family experience. We gave Baron Park a 9 out of 10. If you don't know anything about the game, you should definitely head to thefamilygamers.com to check out the review. It's packed with unbearably cute puns and tells you everything you need to know about the game.
Like we said, The Bad News Bears is a two-part expansion. Unfortunately, it doesn't add enough content for a fifth player, but it does add two new cool modules, the monorail module and the grizzly module.
So either you play like you're above everyone else, or you tell a grizzly tale?
Something like that. All right, what's in the box?
In The Bad News Bears, there's the components for the grizzly expansion, which are these huge polyomino pieces, bigger than anything from the base game. There's also some higher value bear statues and 8-point animal houses, one more for each of the kinds of enclosures, brown bears, polar bears, koala bears, panda bears, each one worth 8 points since the highest value in the base game is 7. Finally, there are a stack of 4 park exit areas, which are park expansion tiles, but these ones have an exit area that must be placed so that side is open, so, you know, visitors can actually exit your park.
The monorail expansion has monorail towers and monorail cars. The cars have points on them like the animal houses do, so they're placed in a stack, and as they're built, they're worth less points. There's also some new achievements and some new toilet tiles that are these really cute bear-shaped porta-potties.
They're adorable.
They are.
So the game recommends playing with each expansion separately before combining them, which is probably a good idea. It's kind of a lot to take in all at once. But once you know how it all works, we had no problems mixing the expansions and using them both at the same time.
With the monorail expansion, it's very simple. Whenever you build a green space, so this is the food street, bathroom, a river tile, or a playground, you can choose to put a tower on one of those squares. If you're putting a second tower down and it's two spaces away from the first one or any other one, you can put a monorail car on it. You take the top monorail car from the stack and hang it across those two towers. It's got these little notches on it, so it's really not that hard to figure out how it goes in there. The interesting thing about this part of the puzzle is that your monorail cars always have to meet at right angles. So you can't go to a tower and then go straight to another tower in a second car. And you can't have any loops. You also can only have one continuous monorail in your park. So you have to zigzag your monorail through your bear park while you're building your enclosures and other stuff around the towers. It's a totally different kind of puzzle than what you're used to in Baron Park.
Then there's the Grizzly expansion. With this expansion, at any time during your turn, you can trade in an animal enclosure. That's a koala, panda, brown bear, polar bear enclosure. And a green space to get one of the grizzly tiles. This isn't a normal part of your turn, so you can take your turn and then do it immediately before the next person goes. Or you can make the exchange before your turn starts. There's also extra statues and enclosures for points. And instead of having only a four-tile park, now you get that fifth tile that has to be an exit. The exit always has to be above your entrance and not blocked off in any way.
And that's it. The achievements and stuff are extra, but they change the game even less than the modules do. So what do we think of the Bad News Bears?
I love how the two expansions in this box do totally different things that play well off each other. The Grizzlies expansion is more of the Baron Park that you know and love. The monorails are a completely different puzzle layered in on top of Baron Park. And the two of them almost play against each other if you use them both at the same time, because you need to trade in green spaces along with enclosures to get grizzly spaces, but you need to place green spaces into your park to be able to create your monorail.
The achievements that are in the expansion are really interesting, too. They're really different, like playgrounds with statues. There are at least three bear statues in your park that are orthogonally adjacent to at least one playground. That's totally different. There's nothing like that in the base game.
Or even the construction freeze achievement that you can only get if you place an enclosure that doesn't cover any symbols at all. Not even a expansion construction symbol.
So there's lots of really neat extra ways to really mix up the game. I love how much more variety there is in this game, especially when you play them both together, like you mentioned before. However, I will say this. Even though the monorail totally changes the game, adds a completely different kind of puzzle, it still feels like Baron Park, and that's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's really well done. I found that with the expansion, whether or not we used the achievements, our scores tended to diverge a little bit more than they do playing traditional Baron Park, which was good. It meant that there was more room for different strategies and different ways to get points.
I totally agree with you. The strategies in the base game were often very similar, but with the Grizzlies and the monorails, people could do completely different things, and it really led to some interesting boards.
For what it's worth, I also don't think that either one of these expansions makes the game substantially more difficult. If your kids are playing Baron Park, they're going to be able to handle at least one of these expansions at a time, and probably even both once you get the hang of them.
The last thing I'm going to say is, I love the fact that adding both of the expansions did not significantly increase playtime.
Adding one or the other is going to make it a little bit longer, but adding both adds about the same amount of time as adding one.
So I think the Bad News Bears is a complete home run. What do you think we'll rate this expansion to Baron Park?
I think we're going to rate it 4.5 out of 5 bear paws.
Sounds good to me. And that's the Bad News Bears in a snap.
And we're back. All right, so we're here, just the grown-ups now. So we're here with Daniel and Allison Burl.
Yes, we are. And the kids are in bed, and it's much more calm. That was a lot of fun, actually. It was really a blast to let them kind of just
I loved having the
ask
kids
and
meet.
Answer questions and all that stuff. And I think Jared and Asher, I think there's a budding future between the two of them.
I hope so. That'd be a lot
Many
of fun.
Many Zoom calls in their future.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine. They can discuss their Scratch creations together.
Coding and stuff we don't understand.
Well, that's what I do. That's what you do.
Oh,
okay. Because I don't, so he'll get on some Zoom calls with you, too.
That's perfect, and I can ask you video editing questions. It's
awesome.
It's
we can do that.
It's a win-win.
It's a trade-off here.
Awesome. So we had a 20-minute pre-show chat about all things, everything. Kids and gaming and all that stuff. So we talked a little bit with the kids about what you guys are doing with kidsplaining, and we kind of touched on the two different things. You're interviewing developers, and also you're doing this hysterical unboxing and rule explaining without rules thing. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, when we got started, we had all these games. We started adding to our collection, and we figured the thing to do is unboxings. It gives us content. It gives us, just kind of fill out our YouTube channel. And we
always feel like it's Christmas every time we do it. We let them throw the stuff everywhere.
It doesn't. Unboxings are supposed to be a serious, go through all the cards, talk about the artwork, talk about the, I've seen this in other games. And, I recognize this designer's artwork. And they just open it, and they look at it, and they slap the pop-outs out of the cards, and they throw stuff behind them, and they lose stuff, and it's become just a...
It's entertainment. That's what it is.
It's not an introspective look at games and artwork when they do their unboxings. It is just watching chaos and watching two kids open Christmas presents, and it's not serious, and it's sometimes they don't talk because they get so focused on the cards and looking at them and looking at the cool stuff that it's just 10 minutes of silence just flipping through cards.
You could see us in the back, and we're like, tell me what you're looking at.
We try and whisper so you can't hear it on the mic of just, hey, guys,
talk.
Show us. So and then what they'll do is they'll take the cards and they'll flip it at the camera really fast and this guy looks cool and this guy looks cool. It's like, we can't. So
hold it up for just a split second for me.
Yeah. Just a little longer.
So maybe you should have a gauge at the bottom that measures the length of their silence is how cool the game is.
He has this crazy idea with this silence thing.
In order to just not waste content that we've shot, we're going to do, and it'll probably be slapstick. It will be a joke. We're going to do a series of unboxing ASMR videos where they're completely silent.
All you hear is the popping and the crinkling for the people that
just love that sound of cardboard on cardboard popping out cardboard coins. And I've put together a few of them.
I didn't know you actually did that.
They go 3 or 4 minutes and just complete silence. And it's just the cardboard scraping on cardboard and the crinkling of the plastic. And it's, it's very satisfying to listen to. So
I'm not. Yeah.
So you never know.
It weirds me out.
As far as we know, that's going to be the niche that just takes us off. That goes viral.
There you go. There's always something.
Yeah. We do the unboxings, and then we noticed that they started looking at the stuff and trying to kind of guess just as they were unboxing it, I wonder what this is for, I wonder what this is for. So we started a segment called Best Guess that as soon as we unbox the game, they now know when they unbox it, they put the rules to the side, they don't look at it, they don't read the back of the box, and then we lay out all of the pieces and just have them guess how to play the game just based on the pieces in the box with no help. And
the first one was the Hues and Cues, and Scott Brady loved it.
Yeah.
He just thought it was the coolest thing. That they thought it was party hats and dance floor. And we will never, in our house, that's what they're called. We don't call them pegs or the board or whatever. It is party hats and dance floor. And
when we did the official tutorial video, we got their permission. We checked with them and with the op to make sure they were okay with us
calling it party hats,
and they loved it. So
if you go to the op when cons open and there's party hats that are the colors of the pegs from Hues and Cues, that's Scott Brady really wants that to happen. So
that's awesome.
I'm excited.
The op is so laid back. They're so cool. They're so cool.
Yeah, they're really awesome. We love that we've had connections with them too.
Yeah,
but with the tutorials. The reason that really started, kidsplaining started because of an idea Daniel had a few years ago of just kids teaching random things, how to cook an egg, and so he had told Jared a couple years ago that'd be cool to do. Well, we never did it, and so when he came up with this idea of, what if we just use that name and teach board games, because we have friends and family that they don't play games. We're the ones that bring the games everywhere. we bring the games for spring break. We bring, like, we always bring the games. And we've got, like, five in the back of the car, and we play one. It's a bummer, because we want to play them all. Yeah, yeah. But
I can relate.
Yeah. We always have something, at least Hive, in the back of the car. Mm. But they didn't play because they were intimidated. They walk in. We have an awesome local game store, and you walk in there, and they're just like, nope, I'm just going to go to Target and walk down the aisle and grab whatever's there.
Which,
like,
has gotten a lot better.
It has. But, it has, yeah, Target has branched out a lot.
And our game store was, we got Castle Panic from my brother for Christmas a couple years ago. That was our first kind of modern board game.
Yeah, that really launched
And then
us.
We just started going on date nights or on our anniversary when we were just kind of looking for something to do. We'd go to the game store and say, hey, here's kind of the games we like. Here's what we've played that we enjoyed. What do you suggest?
We got Pandemic for our anniversary game.
Yeah, that was...
We played it very wrong because we beat it. And then we were like, oh, we did that wrong.
we thought when you cure, we missed that the cure doesn't clear all those cubes off the board. Yeah. So we found a cure and took all the blue cubes, like, off the board. Done. And then it's like, oh, there's nothing else going on. We won in like three rounds. So,
but when it comes to, like, no one played these games because they were intimidated by it. They were intimidated when they walked in the store. They just, like, we didn't grow up with those games. And so we're just going to play. I love Monopoly, so I'm not bashing Monopoly, but they play Monopoly or Candyland
or Backgammon
or Mousetrap or Uno. And those are awesome games because we all grew up with them. Yeah. But there's so many awesome games out there now that are a whole different dynamic and allow so many other just processing and, you know, mental and connection and all that stuff. And people don't go that way because it's intimidating. So we're like, well, if the boys know these games and can explain it to us how to play them, maybe that will make it less intimidating for other people if they hear a 7-year-old, at that point a 6-year-old, but 7-year-old and a 10-year-old explain how to play Suro.
Yeah.
If they can do it, maybe that'll make it. And we have had the feedback we've had with the boys teaching how to play a game has been way bigger than we ever thought. Of course, we think that they're awesome and they're cute and we love listening to them to a point. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming. Yes. They will tuck my ear off. But to hear the feedback from other people saying, I totally bought Suro because we watched the boys' tutorial and it just made so much more sense. And I was like, well, that's why we're doing it. That's why they're doing it. And the boys, they love it. Now, they are kids and it can be a lot of pressure being in front of a camera, having lights, having pressure, having, you know, the script, even though they work the script with us. So we do have those moments of, okay, we've been sitting here for an hour. We all need a break. So we're going to go take a break. And it's taken us, I think, was it Hive? We shot in 3 days total.
It was.
We just set up and we came back and made sure we put their shirts on the back of the chair. So they're wearing the same shirts.
nice.
But we're not going to put our boys in a situation where they're not liking what they're doing.
Yeah, sure.
In our first dozen or so videos, we have a teleprompter now. Jared is reading off of a teleprompter, and he actually, we shot, it's not out yet, but we shot the video for Second Chance, and he took those rules, he wrote the entire script himself.
Maybe
I went back and made a couple of edits, but he's reading off of a prompter now. But prior to, I think Hughes and Cues was the first game that we shot on a prompter. Before that, they were just memorizing blocks of text at a time.
Mm-hmm. And Peyton still is.
Yeah, so Peyton still is, but they were just, we would feed them a couple lines, they would rehearse it back and forth. They do it for the camera.
I wish it was a fly on the wall because I can hear them upstairs. Like, I'm in the kitchen. Yeah. I can hear them upstairs practicing different intros and trying different things differently. And I'm just like, I wish I'd had, like, just a little bug camera just to watch their little banter because they talk about it all the time. And Peyton, it was just the other day, I'm sitting in the other, we weren't doing anything kids planning. I was like, we're taking a day off. I'm just going to, my boys just need my focus and put my phone away and all that stuff. And so I'm sitting in my chair reading, or not reading. I was drinking my coffee while it was still warm. And Peyton came to me. He was like, Peyton came to me. He was like, Mom, can you use your phone and just film something for me? I was like, okay. So I just set it up and he was playing with some Discovery Kids building thing. And he was like, I'm going to teach people how to play this or how to use this because it's easy. And I don't think enough people know how to do it. Okay. Aww. And so he, like, told me how he wanted me to film it. And he was like, wait, I didn't do that right. Can I do it again? And, like, just did this whole thing. And I'm just his video person. And then at the end, he wanted me to put my phone. We have an Apple TV, so I can kind of screen. I can mirror it. Yeah. So he wanted me to do that so he can teach me or tell me how he wanted me to edit it on my phone in iMovie. and like all of it, all of it. And he was like, okay, Mom, can we, I know there's an Amazon link. Can you put an Amazon link to that too when you post it? And I was like, are you kidding me? And so I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to use an affiliate for this. But so I posted it. He was like, can you post it on Facebook and our YouTube? And I was like, I'll post it on Facebook. It was just he – and I was like, why did you want to do that? And he's like, because not enough people know how to play this and they need to know because it's really fun. And I was like, that is – I mean, I love that. Yeah. And I love that that's – that drive – I mean, they had this before we started, but they just want other people to know – all the ways you can have fun with all the different things. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that that's really fun that they're doing it even without, I mean, they're driving it. They can't wait to do all the things they're asking us, you know, when are we going to teach this game? Can we do this game? Can we do this game? We're just trying to keep up.
And at the end of the day, if it all fizzles out, they're building skills that'll take, they love watching themselves as soon as a video posts.
They'll binge watch their own YouTube channel.
Well, they pull it up on those views.
Yeah, they pull it up on the Apple TV and watch it.
It's watching on our YouTube channel, so they're not getting any extra views.
But they'll sit down and watch their 45-minute podcast episode, and it's like that, if nothing else, for them to grow up and not be embarrassed watching themselves.
Sure.
But also just to be able to read off of a teleprompter and write scripts.
Be able to interview people.
Yeah, interview people, stuff like that.
They've never met. So like, as an adult, I'm intimidated by that. And
a lot of people are.
Yeah.
So we know if nothing else comes of it in the board game world or on YouTube, they're building skills that are going to stick with them, that are going to open up doors for them in other ways. I think we're in the board game world for quite a while because we love it.
We do. This community has been amazing. I've said it over and over and over again everywhere I can have a chance. Just I in the photography world, everyone says that they're supportive, but it is cutthroat. There really is no support system. And in the board gaming world and just tabletop, everyone wants everyone to succeed, and they'll lift you up because when one person succeeds, then we all succeed because we're all playing games together and we're all just in that community. You can't play board game. I mean, I guess you can't play solo, but there is that. Yeah. But board games are about playing together, and I love that that has transferred into the industry in itself. So I just think that is so awesome, and I feel very blessed that we are now a part of it, and we can call ourselves friends with so many board game people. That's a really awesome, awesome group of people.
Yeah, I mean, our tagline is play games with your kids, right? Mm-hmm. And our world, everybody's in such a rush to grow up. Yeah. And board games, I don't want to say that board games are a way in which we don't have to grow up, but
They let us guard down and play.
Play.
Yeah.
They let us have fun. And, you know, when you talked about Peyton and just this, I want people to have fun, right? I want people to learn how to have fun. And that, hearing that almost hurts a little bit, like to have to learn how to have fun, right? And I mean, I know that when I started watching you guys' videos, I was just blown away at the poise of your boys. I just totally, like, it's just incredible. And I mean, we had our kids and they were fine, but like they were terrified. Like, it's just a microphone, it's not a big deal, you know. And and you know, I mean, if it's something that they want to do more of, then they'll do more of it, and that's great. But you know, watching Jared and Peyton, and just they're truly enjoying being brothers and doing a thing that's fun, and the fact that they can couple that with all these real life skills that you were talking about, Daniel, and this desire to show people how to have fun is just super cool.
Yeah, I'm usually I'm the one that has butterflies in my stomach when they're about to interview someone. So I'm sitting on the side and I'm way more nervous and they're just like, we're just talking to people. This is fun. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you guys don't even realize how cool this really is.
Yeah,
like,
and they don't. They definitely don't understand how cool the opportunity is that they have.
They will
and
someday.
Yeah, they will. And they like, I mean, a big box of games shows up at our door and they're like, oh, more games. And we're like, a lot more games. Like, this is a big deal.
Someday you might get what our kids do, and they're like, oh, is it a game that you guys have to review?
No.
And I'm like, well, it's been hard because you might actually even enjoy it.
Yeah. There's been a couple. We've gotten a few Kickstarters, and we've been waiting. We want to help and support them, and so the timing of that needs to be right. And so we've had them like sitting on my shelf and waiting to unbox. We finally got to unbox one of them today. They're like, "We're finally gonna unbox!" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's just been sitting there for weeks." And I'm like,
"Taunting them, yeah,
yes." Well, taunting me because I wanted to play it too. But it's just like there's just a few of those where we're like, we have to just wait and. But yeah, their birthdays and Christmas.
We'll have to figure something else out
because they get games all the time, and that's typically what we would get them anyway.
Yeah, right,
so. Yep. It's funny.
No, but yeah, it's been talking to these people, interviewing like Fireside Games was a huge deal because that was a big game for us. Like we have a lot of memories wrapped up in Castle Panic, and then so for us to get to talk to people like that, and we pre-interview, we introduce ourselves, introduce the process, and then we kind of let the boys take over, and it's, you know, there's a little bit of jealousy that they're getting to talk to these these game designers, these game artists and stuff. And it's like,
we need to start our own podcast so that we can talk to these people too, because I have questions I want to ask too.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just fun, even for a lot of the designers, to get out from behind the cardboard and talk to people about what they're doing. And I started my amateur game media stuff in the video game space, and I just think sort of like what you were saying before, Allison, I think the board game arena is so much healthier.
Mm.
And, you know, the desire for everyone really to work together, because I think that no matter how big board gaming gets, it's still going to be such a small thing in the grand scheme of the toy industry, right?
Right.
And so we all kind of know.
All of the ways you can entertain yourself.
We all kind of know that board gaming will grow and it will take up a larger percentage of the greater toy market, but it will never be something that is this like hulking behemoth. And
which is so weird for us because it is that big for us.
Yeah. It
like,
is.
And so it's like, why don't you get it?
And you just feel bad for me. You're like, you're missing out on so many, like.
Yeah, it's like. You know, would you like a game about dressmaking?
There's something about everything.
Everything. Yeah, it's all everything's out there.
All four of us have a game we're designing individually.
Yeah.
All four. Jared actually has three games he's designing.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Daniel's got one. I've got one that we just have rolling in the back of our heads. And what's cool is...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when you play this many games, it's like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if there was a game that did this? Because that concept is really cool, and I like the way that one works. But if we put that together, I mean, when you play this many games, you've got to have something rolling back in your head. But what's really cool is that if the boys want to actually publish games, design games, Jared's been designing games since he was like six.
Yeah, they would make games with Legos with full sets of rules, and like every day he'd make a
new
game.
We made him write them down.
Yeah,
like you have to write down your rules.
And it actually worked, and
that's familiar.
and so we like, if that desire continues, we just kind of opened the door and stuck a wedge in it for him. Like, they're getting to meet people that do this for a living. And if they want to do that, then now they've met the people they need to talk to. So right.
Totally. We may know a couple people in the industry
now.
Right.
A few of them. Yeah. So I just think that's really cool. That's something that they've been wanting to do for forever, just as a hobby. And now that they could actually do it if they actually wanted to. They asked to be, I think, Jared last fall. Because they start, Daniel watches like Dude Perfect and Slow Mo Guys and
How Ridiculous.
So they'll watch together. The boys don't watch YouTube on their own, but Daniel will watch some things with them. They're like, "Can we be YouTubers? Can we be YouTubers?" And I'm like, "No, you're not going to grow up and be YouTubers." Totally poo pooed it. Was like, "That is not, you're going to be doctors and that's what you're going to be." There's no questions asked.
No doctor board game yet. So.
No. Well, technically, there is a lot of them.
But start
with Operation.
Now, you're YouTubers. Hey. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, okay, well, that's what they wanted to do. So I guess we can check this off their list. Even if it doesn't come anything, they have their own channel and there we go.
Yeah.
I was going to say something I can't remember. Oh, with the podcast, the reason we don't do that live is to do two things. Well, probably more than that. But to protect the kids from saying things that, like, we're very careful about what we put out there. Because someone commented, it was a little, like, tongue-in-cheek. But are you wanting, are you prepared for these videos to be on the internet forever of your kids? I don't agree with kids being on the internet. And that was a big weight on our shoulders before we even started. We had many, many discussions and anxiety about putting our kids out there because we really care about their image and we care about who sees them. And so that was a big deal. And so with the podcast being recorded, we're protecting them from saying things that maybe would put them in a vulnerable place or us, even the who we interview. We want them, the person we interview, to be in the best light possible. So if they're not used to being interviewed by children, which majority of people in this industry are not used to being interviewed by children, we don't want them to look uncomfortable. We want that. So that's another thing where we're protecting the person that they're interviewing to, because it's a very unique situation to be interviewed by kids.
Yeah. And, you know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because we've talked about video and we've been asked about video because we've been doing this for long enough that you would think that we would get into video and
more than the occasional like Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, yeah. By the way, we're playing this game.
And ultimately, the biggest reason why we haven't is because our kids just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And all right. And they don't want it. Okay.
Fine.
Okay. That's the deal.
They're generally happy with doing the occasional audio podcast bit or audio review.
Like tonight.
Yeah. Well, usually less crazy than tonight.
that was very mild. That was fine.
Well, usually it's not all three of them at once, which is why it feels crazy to me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was three children in like a 9-square-foot space.
I could see how that was scary or intimidating.
And they were all attached to each other with headphone cords.
Right.
Yeah. but all of them have kind of indicated that that's pretty much it. Like, being a part of what we do, they're fine with, but we've tried various times to kind of push them out there a little bit and be like, can you try doing this? Can you try doing that? And when they say no, we back off and
so they're really
let
good
them
at
be kids.
Yeah, so they're really good at the part where we talk about their take on a game and we can incorporate that stuff into a written review or a snap review, our audio reviews. But beyond that, Elliot, our 6-year-old, he's the most like Jared. He's like, yeah, let's do whatever. Let's talk about stuff. I'll be on everything.
I would love to share my opinion about everything.
Yes, very much so.
Oh, games?
Yeah.
I thought we were just talking about everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything. So, like peacocks or...
That was awesome. But so he, you know, may get into some of that stuff. But Asher, I mean, he talked about coding a little bit. Mm-hmm. He likes the idea of doing video editing, stuff like that.
We maybe will hire him. Wanna...
Not until we hire him first.
Oh, okay. You get dibs, I guess.
Yeah, but he just has no interest in being in front of the camera. And Claire's the same way. Claire doesn't want to do the editing, but she wants to do the actual videography.
Mm. Okay.
So we've got an entire team. We just need some on-screen talent.
Claire wants to do the videography. She's happy doing art. Like actual physical art. So she's drawn pictures a couple of times for us to include in a podcast or with a review.
I love that.
And as a sort of homeschooling experience, I made her write a review once and she was like, well, I did it and
I'm done.
I'm glad I had the experience and please never ask me to do that again.
But
that's one thing that's been interesting is I've asked Jared a few times. I think he's written one.
He's written a couple.
Has he written a couple? Okay. Well, I mean, it was good typing experience because he's learned to type now. And he's actually gotten pretty proficient in typing. But the handwriting, I need him to handwrite them because for the school aspect, he needs to work on his handwriting. So
important skills.
Very important skills. Although with his handwriting, he could easily be a doctor still. So we're good there.
Yeah.
If he does want to go down that route. Game. But the reviews, as much as he wants to talk and share his opinions, for some reason he just hasn't wanted to write them. He just would rather talk his reviews. Sure. So we'll see. And I mean, Daniel and I, we want to, we have a website that is majorly in the construction zone. I'm really feeling a lack of a website because of my photography and really wanting a place other than Instagram. I mean, if I load every picture that I take on Instagram, it would be way overwhelming. So I'd love to have a place where it's like, okay, this is a page for this game. Mm-hmm. So every time we play, I can post a picture for this game and people can go to it. And I have that outlet. And then for reviews, we would love to have, like, the charity Board Gamer, something they have on their website is that we wanted to do was a point of view of a game from different perspectives of the parents, of an adult, of a kid, of a mm-hmm. younger kid, of yeah. having how it works in the family, how it's, you know, we want to have another outlet for people who are looking for that type of review. So there's that where it's coming. It's just, we're dragging our feet because these boys are keeping us so busy. the other stuff, we need to hire people already just to, we can't pay them. We'll pay them in board games. Because we're just trying to keep up with them. But we have so many, T said at Hobo, she's like, you guys are very, what did she say?
Ambitious.
And we're very yeah. ambitious. Mm-hmm. And we are not people that like to sit and twiddle our thumbs. Yeah. If we can move, if we can do something, we want to do it. And
we've dialed ourselves back from trying to put out 5 pieces of content a week to 3 a week.
Yeah. Which I don't know where he got that idea to put 5 a week.
With the occasional Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Post where we do a...
So the occasional 5 days a week.
So we have a podcast on Monday, a tutorial on Wednesday, and... an unboxing or a best guess on Friday, and then yeah, we did our Jumanji video this Tuesday.
We have a few funnies in the back of our head that we've got planned. Mm-hmm. That'll be those are more for our adult. We want to get in on it, so we're you
sure?
Yeah,
sure.
And we have a T-shirt design that once we release that, we're just going to retire.
He had this idea. I created this design. Yeah.
It's designed.
He's making me like keep it under lock and key. I can't share with anyone. But he's convinced that we're buying our yacht with the T-shirt
design. So we've got merch coming. We've got it all in the works.
Yes, ambitious. We are definitely the ambitious kind of family. We love... trying all the things, and if one thing doesn't work, then we'll be like, okay, that didn't work, but that's okay because we've got all these other things, and we'll try this next.
We have opportunity right now, and we're in a very unique time that we have a whole lot of time, and mm-hmm. doing something that maybe this will be sustainable one day, maybe not, but we're just trying to not twiddle our thumbs right now while the world is being weird. And we had an opportunity to start this and do it as a family project back in March, and we've just kind of rolled with the momentum and listened to some of the feedback we've gotten and tried to figure out what of the content that we can create do people want, and continue creating that and find other places that we can find a niche and can satisfy a need. And
luckily, so Dana and I, we've always worked really well together. We have a little homestead farm, and we've got so many projects that we want to do and are doing. And he's the chef. I don't like being in the kitchen, but I love being his sous chef. And I just work really well. Like when he's doing a project, I like being the one that hands him his tools. And so this is no different in the, he's editing. Okay, what graphics do you, I love being able to support him. And we work really well in that way. And so that's really fun being able to do that. And then also having our boys have firsthand experience in watching their parents work really well as a team. There's other aspects mm-hmm. in our life, obviously, that they've seen us work as a team, but that's just another example that I'm really glad we're able to share with them. Daniel and I are best friends. So yeah, they are part of our team, big time. And we brought them in to talk to them about this new segment we're going to do with Daniel and I. We're like, do you guys think that? Is that okay? Do you think that that's something that we need to do? And okay, this is the name we might use. What do you think? And Jared didn't think that was a good name. So we were like, okay, let's ponder something. I'm like, they're big time in the behind the scenes of this. I'm just really glad that they're most of the talent in all this too, because I just don't like being on camera. we're just behind the scenes kind of people. So having kids that love being, but seriously, when we got in front of the camera today to try to do that one thing, I was like, Daniel, we do not give our kids enough credit for doing this. They do it so well. Cause we thought we were like, yeah, we got this. This is easy. We're just getting in front of the camera and do it. And I was like, stumbled over everything I tried to say. I'm like, Daniel, tell me what I'm supposed to say. I know what I'm supposed to. The boys just, they really are really good at what they're doing. And I'm as big of a fan as any of them who watch. And, I love that I'm their mom and I get to support them, but then I also am just a cheerleader and and love watching what they're doing. It's
really
cool.
That's been the hardest thing to communicate in as we're trying to advertise and get ourselves out there is, yes, our channel is a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old doing board game tutorials.
But they're really good.
They're really good board game tutorials. Really like they're actually legitimate good board game tutorials. Yeah. It's
honestly,
not shtick.
Yeah, I mean, we do enjoy the shticky videos. Yeah. Too, but no, but the tutorials are good and your boys are so much more excited and having fun with it while still being clear, more so than a lot of other videos I see out there, you know, with grown men who can't manage to bring the same enthusiasm.
It's because it's intimidating.
Well, again, and I do this for a living. So when Jared did his, and we figured when we started doing this off of a teleprompter, it was going to be a massive learning curve. And, you know, maybe it'll work. Maybe we'll have to do a few videos. And
I didn't hold my breath. I did not think it was going to go well. I was like, why are we investing in a teleprompter? Like,
so we did it, and he started reading the first paragraph, and he did a cold read of a script in, like, one take. And I'm like, I do shoots with adults that can't read off of a teleprompter nearly as good as this 10-year-old.
And that's a profession.
Yeah, and like, legitimately, yeah. Like, going in and interviewing executives and doing corporate videos with these people that give speeches and stuff regularly, and they can't read off of a teleprompter. Mm-hmm. And then he just comes in and
he's got emotion in it. It's not like, and he does that. Like when he does read alouds for school, I do love listening to his read because he does the character voices and stuff like that. And I love doing the character voices. So I'd like to, you know, pat myself on the back and say, yeah, he got that from me. But I love listening to him read. He puts emotion.
His inflection.
When his inflection when he reads teleprompter is not like he's reading it. And that's what is so cool with watching him do that. So that's a really cool skill. Another skill.
I was shocked when you guys said that the last several at this point have been with a teleprompter because I thought for sure that what you were doing was maybe working with them on the script ahead of time, but then be like, feed a couple lines, stop, feed a couple lines, stop.
And that's what we used to do.
We'd feed enough for them to get to a back and forth until we knew we had a cutaway. And then, that's still what we do with Peyton. Peyton still, he can't read off the prompter yet. So he's still, we just work it out where he'll usually lead into a line or lead into a block of the script for Jared. And then Jared will pick it up. And then hopefully Peyton can remember when to start talking again.
But he has done so, so well recently with all that. But the other thing, what's harder is the newer games. The games that we just got in or whatnot, and these trying to teach the games that we know and we play all the time, they hardly need any prompting because they know the game. They love to teach it. And so it's just the newer games we needed that we've only played like 4 times that they need a little bit more prompting of, okay, it's the step next. Okay, we're going to see this next. And
so we've talked a little bit back and forth about how we have to feel our kids out and make sure that they're comfortable doing stuff and how we encourage them to try things that are maybe a little bit new. And obviously, you know, you've got miracle children that are just perfectly amazing in front of the camera.
We do need to do some.
We have a very extensive blooper reel.
But one of the questions that we get a lot, and I'm sure you get it a lot too, is how do I get my kids interested in games? How do I get my kids interested in this thing or that thing? Have you had to deal with a lot of that at all and some of that encouragement? Or do you really just lean back and just only let them do what they're comfortable with? Like, how do you work through situations where there is something that they're struggling with and you know that they've got to get through it?
As far as the gameplay and kind of introducing new games, are you asking about that or like on the tech, on the content creation side?
I mean, pretty much whatever, because I think that for our listeners or for the people who watch your videos, I mean, they might not be trying to push their kids into doing content creation, but a lot of those same principles will apply when it comes to other things, whether it's trying to get their kids into board games or even trying to do whatever, kind of constructive skill since we're at home and, you know, hey, how can I get my kids started with video stuff? Like, what are the kinds of things that you've run into? And that's what, again, why I kind of tongue-in-cheek mentioned your amazing children. But
well, like you said, with your kids, they see you do this all the time, and they're not interested in it. But you might do one thing that they're just like, that's really cool. If we didn't play board games as a couple, I mean, we started playing board games when we were dating. We'd grab a game and go to a coffee shop and play. And I mean, it was backgammon and Skip-Bo and those. But we've just always had games as part of our family life. and Daniel and I would play together before Jared was able to, but they saw us playing. That was just something that we did, just like you see your parents drink coffee in the morning. So when you get old enough, you think that that's what you're supposed to do.
They drink coffee in the morning.
They do. We've offered it to our kids sometimes. They look so tired in front of the camera. You want my coffee? No. But just if that's something that if you as a parent want to add that to your family dynamic is game night, which I know during quarantine, that has been something that a lot of families are wanting to do. And it's hard because their kids just like, why when I can play this video game? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can play on my phone. Why would I sit down and play with you? is like, well, first of all, you just have to start. Daniel and I, we every morning, the boys get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. They can come downstairs. But Daniel and I are in our schoolroom. We're drinking our coffee, waking up, starting our day together, playing Railroad Inc. every morning. That's what we do. We start our day with Railroad Inc. And that's something that he and I really enjoy. And so I'll be doing whatever in the house later in the day, and I'll walk in the schoolroom, and the boys have got another game out together they're just playing.
We've been very intentional with the games that we've gotten.
They opened Telestrations today, and they're like, what? You have to have four players? Peyton and I can't just play by ourselves? What? And I was like, yeah, it's a party game.
But we get games that and we've played maybe one junior version of a game in the last 2 years.
Yeah, we have a Ticket to Ride Junior.
Yeah, and we've played it one or two times, and we've been very intentional with the games that we get to get ones that are playable by everybody, but are also fun for everybody. So we don't play a lot of junior games because those aren't they're fun.
We don't enjoy that.
They're not fun for Jared, and they're definitely not as fun for us because they're just so so simple. So we find games that even if they may not be able to strategize the best, that are playable and enjoyable by everybody so that no one feels like they are sacrificing the experience so that someone else can play. And games like the full-blown Ticket to Ride. When Peyton first started playing that, he didn't really get the creating the big routes, but he would lay down color cards and steal routes that other people needed because he would have three red cards.
That's so a different kind of strategy there.
So stuff
that's
like that, which actually...
Agent of Chaos strategy.
Yes, it's like upping the difficulty level for everyone else.
What's really bad is when they win doing that. And you're like, what? I had this strategy and this kid just totally came in here and ruined it all.
Yep.
With Root, I mean, Peyton will still be on my team. He'll be on a team. We're still playing as a family. And he and I will talk about, you know, what do we want to do next, you know, but it's not a younger version of the game. And he may, if he gets bored and he's like, can I go do something else? Sure.
Yep.
Like.
We allow them to bow out. We usually say, let's play a couple more rounds and see if you still want to stop. But we just want to create opportunities for them to push themselves and grow and get comfortable with building new skills.
Now, when they do bow out, they don't go in front of the TV. No. They don't have phones yet, but they don't go on their phone. They sit in with the room with us and they can read or they can color. Or they're still with our family. Even if they're not playing the game with us, I still think it's important when we're having a family game that even if you decide, you know, I really just don't want to play it right now, that you're still in the room with us so that you still get that experience. If we're laughing about something, I don't want you to be in the other room wondering what we're laughing about. You need to be in the room with us. You know, even if you're not playing the same game, be with us.
Sure.
I think a lot of adults are intimidated to bring a new game to the table because they may not get it there. And they'll just assume that their kids, if they struggle with it, their kids won't get it either.
Oh,
and we've been shocked with, like, we'll play Catan and Peyton will just sit there silently.
We think he's bopping along singing some song in his head.
And he'll just, you know, I'll take a card or I'll take a whatever. And he's... Just assume that he's just kind of sitting there putting up with us, and we'll ask him, do you need some help? Do you want me to look at your cards? And he's like, no, I'm okay. And then four rounds later, he's like, here, I'm going to do all the things and give me the longest road.
Yeah, and he's got the soldier. Like, he's doing all the things. We're like, okay, never mind. He gets strategy better than I do.
He plays a lot of games, so he understands some of the mechanics of the games, but we've just been shocked by how much he understands that and how much he enjoys that. And he still doesn't win a lot, and he doesn't. He'll be the first to admit that he doesn't
do it to win. But, I mean, I celebrate more than he does when he wins because I just think it's really, really awesome. And he's just like, that was fun. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm just here to hang out and play.
But I think he enjoys the challenge. He enjoys being able to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
So we focus on games that don't have a lot of reading dependence that are...
But we love co-ops.
Yeah. Co-op games are great for kids that are introducing your family because you can help them along and there's...
Because we'd never heard of a co-op until the Castle Panic. We're like, what? You can... Mm-hmm. What? You can actually like join together? Yeah. And so like Castle Panic and Horrified and oh my gosh, 5 Minute Dungeon. Have you guys played that? Oh.
We have the Marvel version.
Oh, see, I want the Marvel version.
And we have found Horrified is a great game for that because it's independent enough that once they understand what they're doing, they can kind of go and make their own decisions. And it's for whatever reason, Horrified seems to be less prone to one person taking over than some other cooperative games.
Yeah. Yes, there's usually always a leader in cooperative games. Yeah. So that kind of helps with that one.
But from that side, we just, and I guess just to give your kids a little more credit, to not let your nerves pass on to them, to get games that look fun, even if they're going to be challenged, just because it's a challenge, just because they can't play alone or don't get it right at the beginning, doesn't mean that they're not going to get it later. Doesn't mean that they're not going to enjoy it. And then on the content creation side, just... bring them into the fold. Like we talked about before, if they didn't want to do it, we're not going to push them to do it. It was something that a project that we developed as a family, but we still ask them every time, are y'all still having fun? Are y'all still enjoying this? And we give them more and more responsibility with each piece of content we create to either help write the scripts or to go off and say, okay, here's the script. Y'all go read it back and forth. You kind of see if there's anywhere you want to adjust and really just giving them the opportunity to be involved, to have a hand in the finished product.
Peyton also asked if he could pick up my camera. I've got one of those big cameras. It's not like a point and shoot. And he wanted to, he set up, I came in the kitchen, he had set up his own setup of Scythe. He's got the miniatures out and he had it all set up with the lighting and stuff like that. And he's like, can I use your camera and take this picture? And so I had the monitor where you could see what you were doing. And so he'd go around. He's like, I think I need to move it this way and that. And so it was really cool to see that he wanted to add that to another area that he wanted to help take over, and he's going to shoot me out of a job by taking pictures. He did really good. He's got an eye. Now, I've asked him, that was last weekend, I've asked him twice since, do you want to use my camera to take pictures? And he's not interested, so I'm a little sad, but I'm not going to like be like, no, I want to take pictures.
It can come and go, too.
So I'm not going to ask anymore. I'll let him prompt that. I didn't want him to think that that was just a one-time thing. I want him to know he's totally able to pick up my camera if he wants to. With me there.
Yes.
With me there.
Well, we've had an absolute blast talking about your boys and just the whole experience of kids planning and kind of where it came from. And it's been a ton of fun. I think we probably have to wrap up the show.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's getting late. I know. I feel like we could probably just talk forever.
We probably could.
Just about this.
We don't get to talk to any other adults right now because we're all stuck at home.
Well, we are always around. We're always home. So if you ever want to talk, you know how to get a hold of us.
Awesome.
But where can people, if they somehow have not found your boys yet, where can people find you online?
Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/kidsplaining.
And it's like kids explaining.
Kid explaining. And then all of our social media links are on there. Instagram and Facebook are both kid.splaining, and Twitter is kid_splaining. And then kid-splaining.com will be coming soon. So, but the easiest one is youtube.com/kidsplaining, and then just follow all the links from there.
That'll send
just
you.
Go to YouTube because obviously they're famous YouTubers, as we've previously discussed.
Oh, goodness.
One day.
One day, maybe. Not us, just the boys. Please.
Well, if you want to find us online, there's lots of different ways you can find us. We are not on YouTube. We actually have a YouTube channel, but we just basically don't ever post anything
on
it.
Really. Yeah.
But you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FamilyGamersAA. Or you can email us, Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
Please don't forget to subscribe to the show, tell your friends about the show, and leave us a review at Apple Podcast or whatever your podcast subscription source is. We're also on TuneIn and Stitcher and Spotify and all the things.
Don't forget that you can find notes for this episode and every other one of the 203 episodes of the Family Gamers podcast on our website, thefamilygamers.com.
Family Gamers is sponsored by First Move Financial. Go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to learn how the team at First Move Financial can help you pile up the victory points.
So thanks again for joining us, Daniel and Allison, and thank your boys for us when this is all
we'll
over.
Do.
And you find them awake and not in bed like they're supposed to be.
Right.
So I guess that's going to be it for us this week. So until next week, everybody,
play games with your kids.